Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Seriously, yeah. What's it like to hand out a game ball in AT&T Stadium? You know, nobody's really expecting you to do that right now, Coach.
Yeah, well, look, nobody expected us to really do anything this season.
Earlier on the show, Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow. Coming up, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Host of Nothing Personal podcast, David Sampson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. My eyes see Dan Quinn getting set to zoom into our program. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports about to join us in Athletic. Let's talk a little bit of college football. Let's do so.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, Rich, we were talking about Alabama, Georgia. It's next week. They both have byes this week.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
yeah.
Byes. Early bye.
That's right. Did I kept saying that was this week?
Yeah, I think people were confused.
Oh, that's great.
That maybe
I'm sure that was very.
Next game.
You know who was also probably confused by that? Kalen DeBoer.
He's like, well, we're off this week, though.
All right. Yeah. At any rate, that's coming up next for him. And it's USC Michigan this weekend.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That's a huge game. That's unbelievable.
It's great.
I mean, it's great.
I wish
your home Michigan, dog. Home dogs.
I know. Rich. I wish Michigan looked like, I wish they played us last year.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say.
That's all I need to see is all my idiot USC friends around here talking to me about how. Like they have a thing to say to me.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the whole fight on thing.
Oh my God.
Home dogs.
When they play here, it's gonna be.
Oh my gosh.
Eventually.
And UCLA, LSU, like these matchups are so.
I know that.
So
they're Big Ten matchups.
Yeah.
They're Big Ten matchups. It's kind of crazy, man. It is kind of crazy. That's how we're rolling here. Let's get right to him. He's the head coach of the Washington Commanders, coming off of his first win as such. Jaden Daniels' first win as a professional quarterback, and getting set to take on our first guest. We just chatted with Joe Burrow earlier today, and he's getting set to take on the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday Night Football on many of these Westwood One stations. You'll hear that, and of course, on the Worldwide Leader in Sports. He's the head coach in D.C., the former D.C. of Dallas, the head coach of the Washington Commanders. Dan Quinn is here. How are you, Coach?
It's doing good, man. We are looking forward to our first time on Monday night here together. So, we're ready to let it rip, man.
So, I was going to ask what you think that means Monday night under the lights here, Coach.
Yeah, I think for us, we want to make sure the process really stays the same, man. So kick back everything one day just to, you know, kind of do all the preparation in the same fashion, the same way. As a new team, lots to still grow on, man. So as we're going, I expect our trajectory of improvement to keep on rocking in a, you know, good trend, but a good matchup, man. These guys are a good team, and we're really looking forward to this matchup.
Well, we'll get into that in a second, but let's talk about your quarterback first, Jaden Daniels. He had a very nice game from week one to week two. You're looking to see some improvement. 7 of 9 for 91 yards in the final two drives, including a couple of runs. So what's your takeaway from your kid QB becoming grown man here? What do you have?
Yeah, 100% he is. The thing that stays remarkable about him so far, Rich, to me, is the word that comes to mind is poise. In those moments, Jaden is really rock solid, man. So tie game going into the last drive, And he's got that smile. Let's go do a cube. And so just confident, poised, ready to go. And so he really puts in the work, which I think gives him a lot of the confidence. And the other players definitely feel that from him. As he's going, kind of he's growing, but the team is as well. We didn't have our best performance at Tampa. And so to see that improve week two, we certainly expect that to keep going. But poise is, I think, one of the words that comes to mind, Rich. Maybe when we had talked earlier, I spoke of a good blend of confidence and humility. But now that we're in the games, you see a really calm, cool, collected guy that stays razor focused.
How much do you talk to him about sliding, getting down? I mean, that moment when he had the wind knocked out of him, where he tries to split two defenders, it's like, I was like watching a horror movie, you know, like through my fingers of my hand. What do you say to him?
I'd say we are a work in progress on that part, Rich. It is a physical league. And so we want to make sure the smart decisions, when to get down, when to get out of bounds. And so just like every other part of his game, there's going to be some extended plays that he'll remain a passer and lets it rip down the field. And that also kind of goes into some of the scrambles. And so I think we're going to work hard at that. He's been absolutely, you know, crushing all the things that, you know, we've thrown at him. And this is another one that remaining a passer, you know, as long as you can, knowing there's some big plays out there that you can do that. And then when he has the chance to use his legs, get the yards, get down, and let's keep it moving.
Yeah. I've never met him. I've only seen interviews with him, and I've only talked to people who know him. He strikes me as someone who should know better. You know what I mean? Like, he knows, right?
He does. And, I think the things that you love about him are the same things. Like most things, there's like a blessing and a curse. Like, he is a rare competitor. And so let's make sure, don't let the competitor override the decision-making in that space, because that part of him is absolutely fantastic in terms of the competitor. So for us, making sure good decisions to go through it, and he'll improve on that spot for sure. He will.
And obviously all young quarterbacks are their own personalities, right? I mean, they all have different height, weight, measurement. They also have what beats inside and things of that nature that's different. But that said, a conversation in our league right now is based on a highly drafted quarterback from the SEC who won the Heisman Trophy, and Bryce Young, who's now been sat down by the Carolina Panthers. And the conversation about growing a quarterback is now front and center again. Are there any hard and fast rules or any sort of through line that you have here about nurturing a young quarterback and not putting too much on the plate, but pulling back, saying something? I'm wondering what it's like to be a head coach with this tug of war going on.
Yeah, and it's my first time going through the whole process, you know, as a head coach. You know, even over maybe the last, you know, 10 or 12 years, I was in Seattle with Russell, who had been in his second year, Matt, and, you know, had been an experienced player, and Dak. So for me, my first experience going through that, and I wanted to make sure, take each step along the way, and don't miss one step of the development. And so I think the biggest, you know, lessons that I'm taking out of it, you know, as you go back through, to say, you know, trust your eyes of what you see, and make sure you're featuring for the player all the things that make them unique and make them really good. And so we've certainly tried to do that with Jaden, but I think trust your eyes and make sure, you know, you don't put the player in a spot where, you know, the scheme's uncomfortable or the situation is. Just make sure they have a real readiness for the things they can absolutely go crush. And I think that's one of the real keys so far. That's been my experience.
Just wondering, have you asked any of your coaching colleagues who have been through it before for a 2 cents of advice? And if so, you're willing to share who you've reached out to?
I've definitely, you know, talked to Coach Carroll, you know, through that, you know, going with Russ on an early space. Certainly had conversations with Mike McDaniel, and Adam has done some with his time in San Francisco. So he was very deliberate about pieces around the quarterback as a young player. So for us, the interior part of the offensive line, why we had Zach Ertz, you know, the running game, all the things that go to support a player. I thought Adam just nailed every bit of that, Rich, to say, let's make sure the running game, a tight end, you know, the interior part of the offensive line, to make sure, you know, the person was protected in that way. And so those are a few of the things before the player, you know, was even here that we selected. We knew Jaden was the player that we wanted to take, but I thought Adam was very intentional about surrounding pieces around that player to make sure they would be set up for success when that time came, you know, including signing a backup like Marcus Mariota to ensure that we were not going to be forced into something before a ball player was ready. And I thought that was great, intentional mindset by Adam, and I couldn't agree with him more on that.
I love that you mentioned Coach Carroll, because I just remember how, you know, Seattle had signed Matt Flynn, right?
Correct.
And drafted Russ, and Carroll's all, you know, always compete mantra was personified by Russ's ascension and taking over that job. Obviously, Jaden Daniels' path to the league is different, but are there any similarities, do you think, between the two of these guys?
You know what the similarities were, and I wasn't there on that first lap with Russ on his
right.
very first year, but talking to Pete, the similarities were that you gave them some benchmarks and they competed to go get it. You gave them some more and they went after it again. And so that's what I felt from Jaden from starting here, going through the offseason program, into training camp. And so it was a lot of topics about, you know, why aren't you naming him the starter already? It's like, and we're going to go through the process that we laid out. And I have full confidence that he'll get there, but let's go through the whole process. So 10 years from now, when another player comes in at another position and why aren't you naming him the starter? Let's say it's a receiver or, you know, whatever position, it could be any position. Mm-hmm. So like, if Jaden Daniels went through it to go earn it, you can too. And I just think it's a fair way to go and allows the player to grow and you get to test him to see where he's at. And I think that's important in our league, Rich, to make sure if you're going into a locker room, a veteran player wants to know, can this guy help us win? And earning it and proving it, there's nothing better than that to establish that trust from the locker room.
Dan Quinn, head coach of the Washington Commanders here on the Rich Eisen Show, taking on the Bengals on Monday night in Week 3. You mentioned laps and being around the first lap. You weren't there for Russ. How's this second lap with you and Bobby Wagner going?
It's going excellent.
In.
Yeah. He's just got a remarkable way about him. May not be like the most unique thing, but like Bobby Wagner's floor is so high. He's so consistent, Rich, that every part of his game is just rock solid. As a linebacker, he plays square. He's an excellent tackler. He's got the ability to communicate. And so his consistent level of what it looks like to be an all-pro player has been beneficial for our team to know this is all the steps that you have to take to get into that space. And not every player can be a great player like Wags, but you can, you know, consistently raise so many parts of your game, Rich, that it allows you to become a much better player. And so by example, guys like Wags and Zach Ertz have established what great habits look like from a ball player. And man, I love what they bring to our team. But Wags in specifically, I've just admired him for so long. And so to get a chance to coach him again, it's been one of the highlights for me so far.
And obviously with Cincinnati being in front of you next and Joe Burrow being one of the best,
yes.
And you might see T. Higgins, you may see him. And they just came off of a near miss in Kansas City. Obviously defensively, you're going to have your hands full Monday. Where do you see your defense just two games into your tenure, Coach?
Yeah, I think what we're looking for first off is real play speed, Rich, to make sure that the attitude and the style is right. And the guys will continue to improve, but that is always a number one top of the pile, the effort, the relentless nature that you have to play with to play excellent defense. So the things I'd love to see us improve on are tackling and our third down. We're not anywhere near the mark that we're going to be yet at that. But to play well at Cincinnati, those are going to be two things that we're going to have to improve upon, our tackling and playing better on third down to give ourselves an excellent chance to go play our best.
So, yeah, I guess it's a battle of the LSU quarterbacks, right? Coming up on Monday night.
Yes.
I'm coming up with my storylines. Thank you for helping me with my homework here. So, but what do you see on tape when you take it on Burrow? Like, what's your concern here, Coach?
Yeah, I think it's the accuracy, Rich, that you see. He can put the ball in the right location against the right coverage at the right time. So that, for me, is always one, you know, from a quarterback standpoint, he can process so quickly. And then the other thing that I really respect about Joe, this guy is tough as nails. and absolutely a rare competitor in our league. Gets hit, stays in there, delivers the ball, knowing that, you know, a hit's about to come down. So the ones that consistently do that over and over again, man, you got to tip your hat to them. And Joe is certainly that player.
Okay, Coach, I appreciate the time here. Before I let you go, how do you see the dynamic kickoff here playing out? I mean, we're seeing a few more of these kicks returned, but I'm just seeing a ton just booted in the end zone, certainly when the game's on the line, right?
Yeah, that seems to be the case right now. I would say that's inconclusive so far. We thought we had a really good op to start off our game. Actually, Rich, we returned one and got called back on a foul.
Right.
And so if you do get to the next level, you got a chance for a big play. But when that hole closes, it closes quickly. And I still think there's more to grow and more to learn. And probably be next time we talk weeks from now, another conversation now that we've got outside the numbers. Does it hit the ground on the kickoffs? But by and large, there's not a big difference so far, just within 2 weeks of a kick that, you know, was kicked into the end zone for a touchback and the returns. There's not a big difference in those two at this time. But I think as we go, more players will evolve, you know, what kind of returners are there, and the style of kicks that the kickers are going to start working, I think will come into effect as well.
When you signed your kicker last week to on Tuesday, did you think you'd be giving him a game ball 5 days later, Dan?
Hell no. And I was, you know, wanted to make sure, you know, that we were just constantly supporting him. Fantastic snapper and holder that works with him and Tyler Ott and Tress Way. And so gave himself a great chance to come in to do well. And we're really pumped, man. He came through in the biggest of ways, including a game winner. So remarkable first game as a Commander.
Is that your first game coaching or ever with 7 field goals? Is that the first for you?
Absolutely, yes. And it was actually a franchise record with 6.
Right.
But we joked Austin maybe just wanted to put a little distance between himself and somebody else, so he nailed 7. So, yeah, I can't remember a game with 7. And so it, like a division game, man, you expected it to be close. I certainly thought that going into the game, and finding a way to win with 7 was a big deal. We got lots of things to clean up, you know, going into Cincinnati. I think that would be very tough to think you can sustain that kind of production. We got to get some scores in the red zone, and we'll work hard at that. But yeah, really cool start for Austin.
That said, you're in the standings. You look to your left, that's the equally 1-1 Eagles. You look to your right, that's the equally 1-1 Cowboys, right? 2 weeks in, you got a piece of first. Here we go. We're marathoning.
Here we go.
And sprinting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Just why not? 400 meters, just go for it.
Seriously. No, right?
Honestly, we're just thinking about this game this week, man. There's so much ball to play. But like having a division game as your first home game, you know, with a new club, Rich, that was cool, man. So to have, you know, Washington, New York play in our first game, the history of these two teams and battling for it, man, it was really cool.
Even if you're disappointing the kid who once went to practice to watch Parcells and his Giants, right? Like even though You crushed your childhood self, Dan. You did that.
Yeah, you know? I will do that every time I'm allowed to. So no
Coach, really appreciate the time as always. Good luck on Monday night. And again, look for more of my calls. I appreciate our chats. Enjoy it. Thanks.
Yeah, likewise, Rich. Get after it, man.
You got it. That is the head coach of the Washington Commanders getting set to take on the Bengals on Monday night right here on many of these Westwood One stations. And that's the Commander that ate the canary right there. I mean, he beats the Giants. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys get smoked by the Saints and the new defensive coordinator, they're replacing him. We'll throw the week one where Mike Zimmer's defense looked lights out the window.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Good stuff, right?
And then the Eagles lose. And, you know, Eagles lose in a, you know, gutting fashion.
Gutting. Heartbreaking.
And Cowboys lose in a blowout fashion. Right.
So who had it easier, Brockman?
See, now that's it. This is like the annual, like, would you rather be just destroyed and have no chance and just be left for dead? And it's totally disheartening rather than having the gutting loss or whatever. I know the way you guys go about it.
It's fine.
There's one individual who would clearly have the gutting loss than being blown out. And it's somebody I played golf with yesterday.
Oh.
And had, after we finished up the 18, wanted to record a message for TJ Jefferson.
Oh, no.
What is going on?
Hey, TJ.
Listen,
I'm golfing here with Rich, and I told him that we both had a bad week. But damn, your week was way worse than ours.
Damn.
Carl Anthony Towns.
Fantastic.
This guy.
I love it.
Wow.
This guy took an L.
Just, you know, so good. I love him even more.
What's that tell you about somebody? You take an L, but you like you feel joy because someone else took an L. I mean, I don't mind that. That's actually petty, but, you know. All right, Carl Anthony Towns.
Wanted to send a message.
Disrespectful.
Fantastic.
To T.J. Jefferson.
You know, I mean, I didn't.
There you go.
Rich, great picture.
I sent him a picture.
We played great cat golf.
Wow.
Oh, Anthony Towns.
What's cat's game like?
I knew you would ask that question. Show that picture, the last picture here. Look at that setup.
Yeah, I heard you tell Susie.
Look where the stick is right there. It's just, it's perfect. He's,
wow. I mean,
it's amazing to watch a 7-footer play golf, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he hits it high. There's a high ball flight.
I mean, he's got to be like +2, +3 on the clubs. Like,
I don't
extenders because he's so tall.
He's really good at it.
You know, big guys.
He can hit it far.
Big guys usually hit it far.
He can hit it far.
Yeah.
But look at that set. Look at that. Nice. That's a great swing right there.
I mean, I like golf.
It's, yeah, I heard you tell Susie when you were leaving yesterday you were going
to
go play golf.
Right.
I didn't
expect that it was going to be with Carl Anthony Towns.
No, I like golf.
You know,
I could have gone and driven the cart. It would have been fun.
Golf's fun, Mike. We like golf.
Oh, you're talking about.
Why they didn't get invited. That's what they're...
Oh, is that what it is?
I thought we were friends.
DJ, I don't play.
We are friends.
I just like the cards.
Oh, we are.
We are friends.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, just two of my poker guys. Yeah. I invited those guys.
I could be your daddy.
Another time.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Maybe another time.
Yeah,
because you get to go golfing with NBA, you know, all-stars all the time.
You know what? That's right. I got my own game with Anthony Edwards.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
you and the Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Can we see that video one more time?
We don't need to see that video.
No, it's really good.
He's delightful. He's such
a,
by the way, as advertised, sweetest guy on the planet.
Well, I mean, he was here for like an hour.
Nicest guy on the planet.
We basically kicked him out when he was here.
Hold on a minute. Re-rack it. Here we go. Rack it. Rack it one more time.
Hey, TJ, listen, I'm golfing here with Rich, and I told him that we both had a bad week. But damn, your week was way worse than ours.
Damn. And then you're just like,
I need that. Honestly, I had no idea what he was going to say. By the way, he also, when it was time to he's done this before. He pushed the button for 4K and the HD and all that.
Oh,
He got it ready. He got it ready. I had no idea what he was going to say. And I'm like thinking, I'll hold the phone, but I'm not going to be part of it. And then when he said what he said, I'm like, all right, I got to. At least you're on his mind.
Good. Yeah. TJ. They're thinking about you, man. It's good. Yeah. It's good.
It's like a health check.
You don't want to be
see,
not.
See, here's the deal, though, right? At least, Chris, early in the third quarter, I was able to accept my fate, right? It's like, all right, this is not our game.
Oh, he's going in this way.
Early third quarter.
That's what I'm saying. How can we can improve?
Like, you're able to cauterize the wound.
We're on the button. We're on
the
Baltimore.
Burn the tape.
You know,
exactly
I had to make some notes, but with him, like, you thought you had to get
that's exactly how you want to handle your business. You want to get totally blown out by the Saints at home after you've done what you've done with the Browns. Exactly.
Yeah,
so you could feel better about yourself.
You should have won.
You should have won the game.
Run the ball.
You want to start the healing process as soon as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand. I understand.
Exactly.
Get out of here.
Yep.
There's no way.
All right, let's take a break. Bruce Feldman's going to come on out.
I'd much rather lose the way the Eagles did.
Arch Manning starting. What does that mean?
Oh!
I got a boat, baby!
Oh, yeah. And so much more with Bruce coming up. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. Let's talk DoorDash people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash. That's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. Healthy hydration isn't just about drinking water. It's about water and electrolytes. You lose both water and sodium when you sweat, so both need to be replaced to help prevent muscle cramps, headaches, and energy dips. Now, you might think drinking Beyond Thirst would be a good idea. Nuh-uh. That dilutes blood electrolyte and sodium levels, which could lead to headaches, low energy, cramps, confusion, or worse. A solution isn't to stop drinking water. It's to drink water plus electrolytes. Enter Element, created by former research biochemist Rob Wolf and Keto Gains founder Luis Villasenor. Element has enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to get you feeling and performing your best. Plus, it has zero sugar, artificial colors, or other dodgy ingredients. Also, Element guarantees you find a flavor you love. Try fan favorites, citrus salt or raspberry salt. Get spicy with mango chili or mixed chocolate salt into your morning coffee. Element came up with a fantastic offer for us. Just go to drinklmnt.com/RICHEISEN to get a free sample pack with any purchase. That's drinklmnt.com/RICHEISEN. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our friend Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports and The Athletic is here. And normally, I ask you where you're going or what's going on. But first things first is we have to bring to the people what you were asking when you first came out here and sat down, Bruce, about our friend over there.
Yeah. Apparently, he's like Brad Pitt to a different demographic. And this is the time of year where I'm like stuck on East Coast time. I don't sleep very well. And okay. I'm like in the ride here. I'm like, did I see somewhere where somebody on social media was talking about like Del Tufo has this amazing smile? I was like, did I imagine that? Like something. Like, where did that come from?
Well, I mean, he is the king of the toothy selfie.
The toothy selfie.
You know, he's...
In the convertible, though. Top down.
I see it now.
Yeah, top down.
Top down. Selfie.
To borrow a line from Jiminy Glick, believe it or not, he's like a grandmother's email, all caps.
Okay.
He's all caps.
You know, all caps. Brady Hoke was all caps texter. Always.
Oh, I know Brady Hoke was an all cap. I got a few of those too. Yeah. an all caps texter. But I think that's what it's from. It's his brand.
It's my brand.
It's his brand.
It's disarming.
Did you see? Please, that's a new drop.
Oh my God.
Bruce Feldman saying it's disarming. Boy, that was a right cross I didn't see coming. Like, you just hit me with that one. That is true. It is disarming. That's a great way to put it. Did you see this? Do you know where it's from? Because you see all the comments about you.
Yes.
Who told you you had a great smile?
Someone in India, because that's where all his people
come from. Oh, Constance did?
Well, I think is one of the best people I've ever met in the last couple years.
Constance Schwartz-Marini was here yesterday.
And you get, and it's like, she was like, great smile. I go, I know.
Okay.
I mean, I know.
Okay, great.
I must have saw it like on Instagram or something.
Maybe so. You did. I think you did. You did. Okay. Yeah. Can confirm. Bruce Feldman.
I'm glad it's a real thing and I didn't like conjure it in my head and in my sleep. Then we would have issues.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. As Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports and The Athletic is doing here, let's just jump into it, man. Arch Manning mania is real. And just to see the way that he... Listen, I don't think anybody was watching a lot of Isidore Newman tape, you know? That said, seeing him do his thing in place of an injured Quinn Ewers, and his thing includes him running away from people like Trevor Lawrence, I don't think people saw that one coming. So How real is Arch Manning starting at quarterback for the Texas Longhorns right now?
Well, I think it's expected this weekend just right. because Ewers is still injured or still not 100%. Look, I feel like we talked about this kind of scenario
about a month ago.
Well, even way before that, like I remember the day after or maybe a couple days after Ewers announced he was coming back, I remember you asked like, well, what does he do now? And I was like, you know, and it was all off the cuff. I hadn't really thought it through before that. And I just remember thinking though, well, you went to Texas for a reason because you really believe in Sark, who's brilliant as a quarterback guy and play caller. And you believe in the system and around there. And obviously you want to be there. And also the reality was Quinn Ewers has gotten hurt in the previous 2 years and missed a couple games. And so it worked, turned out that, you know, and nobody wants, and Quinn Ewers looked terrific against Michigan and
he sure
has
did.
Looked, but so, you know, he gets banged up and in comes, you know, first play touchdown pass, like a couple plays later on offense, he breaks off like a 70 yard run where he's hitting almost 21 miles per hour. The thing I will say, because I got a chance to spend some time with some of the Texas offensive coaches in Ann Arbor a couple weeks ago, they really rave about Arch in a lot of ways. Now, he's physically become a lot more developed since he's been at UT. He could always run. He's super smart. They love his demeanor and temperament. And I think the things I'd heard was, you know, he's really come on as a passer and just continued to develop. I mean, it's a great situation Texas has where you have a high-level starter who's played a lot of football and you have a younger backup who's not only extremely talented but has, like, a lot of intangibles, but also, you know, the support system around him is like, yeah, you don't need to go someplace else just to get on the field right now. Just be patient, keep developing, and it's a again, it's a great problem for Texas to have because it's really not a problem. I mean, they play ULM, Louisiana Monroe this weekend, who's 2-0, but shouldn't be able to hang with Texas. And we'll see what Arch does this week. I mean, I would expect him, you know, he has been as advertised, right? Like the hype around him, he was a 5-star guy. And sometimes you wonder if his name was not Arch Manning, but if it was like Mike Davis, would he have been a 5-star guy at that high school, you know, playing at I think there's still a 2A program in Louisiana. But he has a lot of ability and everybody who's been around him can't say enough good things about him. So I'm interested to see not just this weekend, but how he continues to keep playing. I don't see it's such a situation where like he keeps making these amazing plays and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, Sark's like, now Ewers is healthy. I got to play two or I got to manage it.
Well, it's not two or managing it. It's Brady Bledsoe type stuff. You know what I mean? Like that's the conversation to be had here. And so the first question is before we even endeavor that, which we will, heads up, you've already gotten it, is what is Ewers' status? What do we know? I mean, injury news, I don't need to tell you, coming out of college programs like Fort Knox.
Yeah, so. I mean, my hunch on this is going to be a couple of weeks. You don't need to rush him back for ULM.
Right.
You know, I think this is not an injury where you want, it's an, you know, abdominal injury where you want to really force him out there. He doesn't need to be out there right now. You know, maybe in a couple of weeks, maybe a different story.
Mississippi State after
Mississippi State just got hammered by Toledo. Arch will be fine in that game.
And then they're coming off of a bye, it looks like, and then it's the big one with Oklahoma, right? So
yeah, I mean, so that's what, 3 weeks from now?
Yeah.
That's plenty of time for him, you know, hopefully to heal.
Then you go and back to him.
Yeah, you would think. Yes. I mean, he's played a lot of big games. I think it's great to know though, like you have Arch, and Arch is going to keep developing and get live game reps. And also, by the way, the receivers are still new. They're really talented, but, you know, that you had the two guys who went high in the draft last year. Like, they're the timing and all the stuff that goes on. Now, there's a couple of these guys are really young receivers. A couple of them, you know, Silas Bolden and Isaiah Bond had played really well at other programs and come in, but it's just the timing and everything, and I think that's good for them to keep developing. And it's a great situation. I would be surprised if it got to the point where Ewers comes back. He doesn't look, you know, they're going to play some really good opponents beyond Oklahoma after that.
Yeah, he comes back. It's Oklahoma. Then it's Georgia.
That's the one, right?
You
like,
know?
So, you know, Georgia is still loaded. I know they struggled with Kentucky last week, But like, if that's a game, it's tight. You know, this is the putting the cart before the horse to say it, but like, it's you're down 10 points. Who knows?
That's the meat, man. Because after that, Vanderbilt, Florida, which is just having a disastrous campaign so far. Arkansas, Kentucky, which just put the scare in Georgia, and then their final game is at Texas A&M. So I mean,
it's the Georgia game. I don't want to diminish Oklahoma. It's a great rivalry game. And
well, don't you know you have to? You must throw the records out. You have to.
You don't have to this year unless they, you know, get smashed at Tennessee by Tennessee this week, which
right.
could happen. But again, I think because Mississippi State is not, you know, they lost to Arizona State. They got absolutely, you know, pummeled by Toledo. The probably game shouldn't even have been as close as it was. And it was a 24-point, you know, difference. So again, I think Texas is in a really good situation.
Well, I agree with you. Is that Ewers is hurt enough where you give him the 3 weeks with two games that you should be able to win with your backup, let alone Arch Manning. And then you've got a bye week. And then Oklahoma and Georgia, you probably want to have the guy who looked like the Heisman Trophy, a Heisman Trophy candidate before he got hurt.
Who has played a ton of football and has actually played well on the road. He is, you know, to his credit, and I think because we talk a lot about Arch, I think to Ewers' credit, he has developed really nicely there. I mean, I think he is, you know, he's got good arm talent. I think he showed some really good mobility against a Michigan defense that looked honestly kind of lost. And again, credit to Texas for doing that. And I think it's, you know, if you ask me who has the best quarterback situation in college football right now, it's Sarks.
Yeah.
It really is.
I agree. Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Game of the week is what, in your estimation? What do you got for me?
In my eyes, the most intriguing game actually involves your alma mater. They're going to host USC. And if you had asked people a month ago, you know, all right, we're thinking USC is going to be lucky to be a 7-win team. Mm-hmm. Michigan's coming off the national title win. I'm thinking still, because they had to replace so many guys, I thought they were like an 8-4 team. I still thought here's where I'm different on this, that I've changed in the last couple of weeks. USC, yes, their defense has looked markedly better. Mm-hmm. That's a credit to Danton Lynn, the new defensive coordinator. But I didn't think USC's offensive line was very good, and I thought Michigan's defense should be outstanding still, and I thought their D-line would be really scary. You know, Wink Martindale, unlike a lot of the other, there's been a bunch of defensive coordinators in college who came from the NFL, whether they were coordinators in the NFL or position coaches, and they really did a terrific job. Two of those guys that I would reference both were in Ann Arbor. First Mike McDonald, then Jesse Minner. Danton Lynn, another guy, was with the Ravens. Chip Kelly hires him, first time DC, does great last year for UCLA. Al Golden, now he's been in college for a while, but he was with the Bengals and then came from the Bengals. He's been really good for Notre Dame. Even the guy Dion hired in Boulder right now, Robert Livingston, spent a dozen years with the Bengals. It was a safeties coach. Mm-hmm. I think he's done a really nice job there because they were awful on defense before, and they've actually played pretty well and they've made improvements. Wink is the one who's probably the most seasoned of the NFL guys. And there was just a lot of stuff that looked really unsound, especially they were like, looked like they were step off against, certainly against Texas. And they have experience and they have players on that side of the ball. To me, it's different than their issues on offense. And the matchup of Wink trying to contain Lincoln Riley, if I was a Michigan fan, I would be not comfortable with that because, you know, Michigan's offense is not great, so it's not like you feel like they're going to be getting 28 points.
Well, certainly if it's a similar situation of Wink trying to, you know, contain Sark's team, right? And that's why I'll be straight up, man. Like, I'm concerned about what happens when Chip Kelly is going to be coordinating the offense.
I think they're going to smash Michigan because they're way more loaded than USC has a very good quarterback. He's not mobile like Caleb, but he's good. He's accurate. He's really smart.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of big time receivers. I don't think their offensive line is outstanding. Right now, I think it's the best to say it's okay. Their running backs are not what Ohio State has. They're not typically what USC has, but they're good enough. I just think Lincoln's is a terrific schemer and good at drawing stuff up and exploiting things. And again, they have a really good quarterback, really smart quarterback, and really like four or five big time receivers. And unless Michigan just absolutely, you know, terrorizes Miller Moss and puts, you know, gets four or five sacks, and I don't see Michigan, you know, again, I think they have a better chance to beat them than they did Texas, because Texas has way more firepower and Texas has a much better offensive line than USC. But I could see why USC is the favorite.
Well, you know, and I know you mentioned you're talking about the defense as opposed to Michigan's offense. It would be helpful if you got a blitz happy guy like Wink, right? Who's like looking at 18-year-olds who were in high school last year and saying, how do you like cover zero, kid? You know, and you're on an island. And it would be helpful if Michigan's run game was similar to last year's. It has not been.
The offensive line is not even close.
Correct. And right? It would be helpful if they play turnover-free football like last year, and they have not. And part of the issue is, you know, walk-on quarterback with a great story beat out the kid that a lot of we Wolverine fans thought was going to start, Alex Orji, who's starting this week. He's going to get that gig. Like, what do you think? I was about to say, they're going to bust into Schembechler Hall, right, and break some glass and take, Benny Oosterbond's playbook from 19-whatever and run the ball, like run a triple option or something like that? Like, what are they going to do?
I'm interested to see it because they feel really one-dimensional. Like, Mullings actually has been the bigger threat for them right now. Like, I keep wondering, you know, Donovan Edwards, we talked about this, I feel like, a couple weeks ago. You know, like, he had a great game against Ohio State when they needed him most on the road 2 years ago. It was really good in the national title game. But, like, there's times where you're like, what's going on here? Like, why is he, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, who knows? He may be the guy 2 years from now who's on an NFL roster and has some big games. But it's like, you desperately need a playmaker. You know, Colson Loveland was banged up. They're not very good at receiver. Their offensive line is not what it was, which was great before, and now it's probably, you know, just good. I just feel like their margin for error now on offense. And look, credit to JJ. I feel like there was times where people would say, oh yeah, he threw it 32 times in a row. Yeah, but JJ could make plays when they needed it to. He was accurate on the run. Yeah. Like, he didn't get the credit he deserved, and I don't think JJ's griping about it or anything like that. But I just think there was a lot of stuff that people, including us in the media, took for granted about Michigan because they didn't need to do things the other way. Right now, it feels like they can only do things one way. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's hard for them to get more than 17 points. They feel all of a sudden a lot like Iowa on offense. Yeah,
my goodness gracious. That's a perfect way to take a break because I need to recover from that. when we come back, you wrote an interesting story about Tennessee and what they're doing with a 10% surcharge on their tickets, right? What are you talking about?
This is the talent fee that's been added.
A talent fee has been added to Tennessee tickets. I want to talk about that. And I also want to get your 2 cents on what's happening with Bryce Young, who 18 starts ago was the number one overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama. Now, not so much. Bruce Feldman here from Fox Sports and The Athletic right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about Game Time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on The Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, people, let's talk about leaf filter. It's that time of year where the leaves fall down off the trees and right into your gutters. And the worst part about that is you probably don't even know that your gutter is filled up with leaves until it's too late. That's where leaf filter comes into play. Even if you are a DIY homeowner, leaf filter is there to help you. If you're a low maintenance kind of homeowner, kind of like me, it's so convenient to never think about gutters at all, and that's where leaf filter comes again into play. Leaf filter uses award-winning patented technology to keep out everything from your gutters but water. No holes, gaps, or large openings for debris to get through. Every installation comes with free inspection, estimate, and a lifetime guarantee, and a leaf filter trusted pro will clean out, realign, and seal your gutters before installing leaf filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with leaf filter. America's number one gutter protection system. Schedule your free inspection and get up to 30% off your entire purchase at leaffilter.com/rich. That's a free inspection and up to 30% off at leaffilter.com/rich. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is $20 off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, where are you going this week?
Oh, your favorite place, Columbus, Ohio.
My favorite place. For Ohio State taking on the mighty thundering herd of Marshall. The head coach, Charles Huff, you heard this soundbite clearly, right?
About, I did. Okay. We're gonna hear it again, though.
Check it out. This is great. What a soundbite this is from the Marshall head coach. This is A++.
I feel good about the track we're on. Trust me, I know where we are, but I feel good about the track we're on. And I feel good about the players we have. Would love to have some of those guys from Ohio State too. So if they want to transfer on down, we've got a Tudor's Biscuit NIL all you can eat. So if any of those guys that run really, really fast at Ohio State like Tudor's Biscuits, I promise you, all you can eat all day if you transfer here. So, but yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
I've been to a Tudor's in West Virginia. I went with, you know, Andy Staples. I went with him once to this.
Yeah.
And he had two of these things, which were the size of like a catcher's mitt. And he goes, I'm thinking about getting another one. I was like, if you do, Andy, they ought to serve it to you in the bathroom right there because you're just not going to hold up. Like, this is this thing is enormous. Huff's super smart. I'm glad to see people are kind of seeing him. See, he'd been a running back coach at Alabama and Penn State. And yeah, it's tough to be a group of five head coach right now because, you know, a couple of his best players now are at Miami. He had a defensive end at Miami and a DB at Miami. So good luck this weekend. So
these biscuits look incredible. I'm on them.
Yeah, you're on the on the biscuit front.
Can we order them?
All that and a biscuit?
Wow.
That's what he's basically saying.
Can we get them sent?
You have no idea how big they actually are in person. I mean, like, I'm not exaggerating. It looks like two catcher's mitts.
That's so a biscuit. I mean, that was funny. So that's a soundbite of the year as far as I'm concerned so far. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We have Bruce Feldman still here with us from Fox Sports and The Athletic. What is going on with the Tennessee tickets? You were telling me about this. You wrote an article about this.
I did, yeah. I wrote a column yesterday. The AD there, Danny White, credit to him that he has become he's transparent with this and just said, hey, we have all of this money that we're going to be on the hook for as college athletic departments through this settlement, which could be $30 million in terms of, you know, for revenue sharing and everything else that's coming down the pipe.
A settlement in a court case in which players are going to have to be compensated?
Across the board. Okay, right. Yes, thank you. And so if it's upwards of $30 million a year.
Per school?
Yeah. I mean, so how do you get to that point? Well, now all of a sudden, this would be about a third, I think, on their projections. Now, why I think it's smart is Tennessee's timing on it is very shrewd. If you look at it this way,
what are they doing?
So they are increasing season tickets for basically about 10%, and that could bring in, you know, up to $10 million across the board.
So now, all Tennessee season ticket holders for next year are going to see a 10% increase
for a talent fee, and
that's what it's called.
That's what he referenced it when we talked yesterday. Yes.
Talent fee.
And so now whether it goes to because I asked him about a distinction. Because on the front end of NIL, when they were 7-6, their collective, Spire Sports, did a deal with a high school quarterback from here in Southern California, Nico Imaleava, who was a big recruit, but unproven. You know, he wasn't a college player. And the deal was $8 million approximately. That is a huge bet that they made on him. Now, after that, they have this great year where they finish sixth in the country, 11-2. Hendon Hooker's the star quarterback. And from that point on, the Vols have been rolling. And remember, before that time, it had been about 15 years of futility and embarrassment. From the end of Phil Fulmer to Lane Kiffin being there and not being there to Derek Dooley, who was like one debacle after another, to Butch Jones, and then even, you know, Jeremy Pruitt and all that. So they got it rolling. The fan base, who's incredibly passionate and loyal, now they're engaged. They've won their first three games by like a combined score of like 190-13. And the quarterback who they spent, you know, they're spending $8 million for, he was the MVP of the bowl game last year in his first real start, and he's looked good so far. So that looks like a good bet. This looks like a very smart bet. I don't think there's that many schools who can make this ask, because as the AD told me yesterday, they have a wait list for season tickets for 15,000 people. So
I know that. It's just, again, like, what are we doing?
It's
like
big business.
I know, I understand that, but why can't we all get together? Why can't there be a system where we understand where this ruling comes in? Now let's all, as smart people in various conferences that have similar issues, get together and come up with a way to run it that schools aren't like standing on the sports street corner asking people who are driving by to roll down their windows. You know what I mean? Like, to be very honest here, like, this is the way we're going to, that's how we're going to attack the problem, is ask the diehard fans for 10% more because we can't figure out the rest, because a whole bunch of people can't get in a room to figure out how to work NIL and portal and paying the players and scheduling and figure it all out as smart educators and administrators in the world. Really? We can't do that?
The smart educators and administrators have had the NCAA for a long time, and there's been a lot of flawed stuff with
that. I know, so let's figure out a different
way. Let's not give them too much credit on that front. But so if you're like the NIL piece of this, and because I asked him specifically about, is there a distinction? Do you make any distinction between the revenue sharing and all the stuff that is coming down the pipe versus the NIL challenges of now? Because what you hear a lot is, a lot of schools only have a handful of big boosters, and that's not a sustainable model.
No.
And so you're seeing, and I don't want to say Tennessee's payroll is now $20 million for the roster, but it is a big difference between some of these schools of what they're paying in, you know, within conferences, not to say like Michigan versus Fresno State.
I understand.
And I think that's the part where it's like, if you tell fans, and I think this is a smart thing on a lot of levels by Tennessee. One of the things what they did was by telling fans up front, hey, this is what it's for. I think the rationale is going to be for a lot of fans, hey, I want us to beat Alabama. And to do this, you know, if that means I'm paying a little more for us to beat them, to make it happen, I'm on board with that. If you're just saying, oh, we're raising, if you don't tell them what the increase is for, then I think people are like, oh, it's just another thing that somebody's tapping into my wallet. I think when you're specific, and then certain fans are going to sit there and go, okay, well, I had a role in helping this team, the team I love more than anything, then I feel like, you know, they're going to be engaged. Now, if they go 6-6, they're going to be ticked off, but that's the nature of sports, where if like teams aren't, you know, look, I'm sure you'll feel differently about your coaching staff if they're winning a national title versus if they plummet to 6-6.
I hear you. In the less than 3 minutes I have left, I mean, you covered Bryce Young. We were talking about him when he was first overall. Everybody thought he was going to be first overall, and he was. What'd you think of when you heard the news that the Panthers benched him just two games in this year?
It's not shocking, because it seems like it's been going so poorly. You know, like, I will say this, because I've gotten a bunch of these wrong. I did think CJ Stroud was the safer pick of the two. He's bigger. He was incredibly accurate. And I didn't think CJ would be as great as he is so fast. But I also
Is Bryce Young as bad as he's looked so fast also?
Yeah, but like who's Bryce's go-to guy? Adam Thielen? Yeah. I mean, Adam Thielen's like 35, I'm guessing, 36. I don't know. He's in his mid-30s. I know he's been around for a long time. And then who else, right? And except for Cam, who's been good at a quarterback for the Panthers? I know Cam was there for a long time, but like do we gotta go back to Jake Delhomme? I don't know. You know, I know there's been a bunch of quarterbacks who've gone there.
But is there any signs of the way he left, you know, Alabama or when he was at Alabama
you're on the top end of the talent. Like, he's operating the plane. I think he's very smart. I think he sees the game really well. I mean, he's really small, but I think that's the concern, is like durability, not the actual performance part. Mm-hmm. But I think you see a guy who has gone from having... You know, even when he didn't have what Tua had in terms of, like, they had mind-bogglingly good receivers, but he still had Jameson Williams. I mean, Jameson Williams is like, can fly. Yep. And John Mechie was a really good college receiver. I know he's been, you know, had, you know, some issues in the NFL health-wise, but like, those were two high-level players that he had. And you had, you know, I think he had Jahmyr Gibbs for a year. Like, you're in Alabama, you have a really good offensive line. I just think when you go to the bottom end of the deck, I think it's just a way harder, and you can get exposed if everything's just not right. And I think that's why it's so hard to project who's going to be really good in the NFL at quarterback and who's not. Like, the guy I thought was the closest thing I've seen in a while to can't miss was Joe Burrow, just because I was like, Joe Burrow is so smart and such a coach. You know, he's accurate, he's athletic. He was kind of checking every box. But yeah, after that, I feel like, man, it's like, you're just kind of throwing a dart at the wall.
Yeah, I know. Bruce Feldman here, everybody. We've got David Sampson coming up, hour number three. It's just still stunning, you know, that, because everything I heard is Bryce Young was prepared and he was always in the playbook and he was done with Saturday and he was already on to Sunday and had a professional mentality like that. And then he doesn't throw at the combine like, I'm definitely the first overall pick. And it certainly hasn't helped that C.J. Stroud hasn't just succeeded. He has exceeded expectations. He has crushed them. He is a top five quarterback in the league. Right now, you're throwing him in with Burrow. You're throwing him in with Mahomes, Josh Allen, for real.
Ask your guy Bucky Brooks about him. Bucky was the first one on the bandwagon for him. Saw him when he was like a high school junior and coached him. And
he's unbelievable.
Yeah, and all the stuff that he was raving about, and you could see it. Like, he was great against Georgia. Like, people should have, like, that's the performance that mattered the most.
If they made the field goal, they're most likely national champions, you know? For real.
Oh, I know. I agree. I saw what happened.
That final drive that he put Ohio State up, spectacular. And then the combine, honestly, I've never seen somebody spin it like that. I turned to Daniel Jeremiah as I'm throwing. He threw touch passes like the one that he threw to Diggs on Sunday night, and then darts like the one he threw to Collins. Deep balls. He's doing absolutely everything.
He actually, like, one of the defensive coaches I lean on a lot for different stuff, saw a bunch of other top quarterbacks, including Caleb. And it was almost like CJ was so accurate downfield to the point where it almost diminished the other guys who are still really good quarterbacks, where it was like, they're not CJ. So
thanks again, brother. You're the man.
Thank you.
Bruce Feldman here, everybody.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
What is the path of least resistance with highest ROI?
New episodes available every day.
People oftentimes are paying very close attention to what the Fed does to get signals on what's going to happen with mortgage rates, and it's completely wrong way thinking.
Whether it's real estate, on the market, rookie, or money.
And you can make just 6% on a deal, you can retire next month.
The Bigger Pockets podcasts are on YouTube or wherever you listen.